This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you all doing? Alhamdulillah. We say Jazakallah khair to two guests that recited. Our normal team is all busy with exams, so we ask Allah to make it easy for them. We'll assist them in their studies and in their Quranic memorization. And to our guests, every year we come, Thoban is a little taller. Alhamdulillah. Soon he's going to be taller than me. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless them and grant them to finish their hifz and honor their parents for the sacrifices. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. We continue with Surah Yusuf, and on that vein of parents and children, tonight's a lecture, a very deep part of the Surah, and perhaps the most painful part of the Surah, and the shift, the story almost shifts from Nabi Yusuf to Nabi Ya'qub, to his father. So now, remember last night the brothers were, arguing with, begging basically the Aziz, Nabi Yusuf, to take, to give them Binyamin and take one of them. Because they said, there's no way we're going to go home and tell our dad that we lost Binyamin. After we saw what happened to him when we told him that Yusuf was gone, if he comes to know that we lost Binyamin as well, number one, he won't believe us. And number two, he might not even be able to bear this. You'll be so devastated. And of course, Nabi Yusuf said that if we were to imprison an innocent person and punish and let in exchange of a guilty person, that this is dhulm, that this is unjust, and I can't do that. So eventually, they decided to give up. They realized they're not going to get anywhere with Aziz, and so they decided what to do. The eldest one amongst them, he said, okay, fine, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to continue trying to get Binyamin. The rest of you, the nine of you, go home and you inform dad what's happened. So now they come to Nabi Ya'qub, and last night we said how they mentioned to Nabi Ya'qub, your son stole, and we couldn't do anything about that. And we can't control the unseen. And ask all the cities we came and the people that came with us. It's not just us, we have like hundreds of witnesses. And so Nabi Ya'qub now gets the news, and his response is the same as when they told him that Yusuf had been eaten by a wolf. Qala, he said, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Rather, your souls have enticed you to something. Meaning, I don't believe this. I don't care who says what. I know my son. My son is not a thief. And he says, it's you and the people have fabricated something. You've invented a lie. This cannot be possible. The same thing he said when they said that Yusuf was eaten by a wolf. He said, I know this is not true. No matter how much evidence you bring me, no matter what, I know this is not true. I know my son. So he said, this is from you. You guys have invented something here. And eventually he said, look, I can't explain this. I don't understand. And you know what? Ya'qub alayhi salam was correct. This was a plot, not the plot of the brothers, but this was the plot of Yusuf. He intuitively understood his children. Something, Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam, he's mentioned so many times in the Quran, not by name, but Bani Israel, the children of Israel, which is Ya'qub. He's mentioned so many times, basically as a dad. He's the super dad of the Quran. That he is known because of being such a great father. That he, had so much confidence in his kids. He loved his kids so much. He was with them. And he says, I know my son. I don't care what the evidence is. He's not a thief. And he was correct. He wasn't a thief. But of course, his son is gone. And he is basically in prison according to what he understands. So he says, فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Then for me, there's nothing but beautiful patience. There's nothing I can do. The matter is out of my control. فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Then he says, أَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ عَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. So he says, patience is all I have. That's best for me. And I still hope. I hope that Allah will bring all of them together back to me. Now who's them? He says Yusuf, Binyamin, and the eldest one. Remember, the eldest one is also in Egypt. So he says he's lost three sons. He said, I hope Allah will bring all of them back to me. I still have hope that all my sons will come back to me. It is He who is the knowing and the wise. Allah knows everything and He's wise. So He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put Him through this test. And He can't understand the test. But He says Allah understands, and this is from the wisdom of Allah. So I only can be patient with Allah's decree. Now Nabi Ya'qub is obviously heartbroken, and he turns away. وَتَوَلَّى. He moves slightly to one side. عَنْهُمْ. He turns away from them. وَقَالَ. And he said softly, but they could hear. Ya asafa ala Yusuf. He says, oh my sorrow, my grief over Yusuf. he just got news that two of his sons are not there, Binyamin and the eldest one. And he still says, I still feel so sad over Yusuf. Now he said it a bit louder than he intended because he moved to one side. And Allah says, وَبْيَدَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْخُزْنِ فَهُوَ قَدِيمٌ. And his eyes had become, by this point in life, he has gone totally blind. Allah says his eyes became white from the grief, from the excessive crying that he had over Yusuf. Now even though he knew Nabi Yusuf was alive, but he was missing. And anyone who's been separated from a loved one knows the pain. Even though you know that your uncle, your dad, your kids are in the one side of the world, they're okay, they're fine. But that separation, you know, we feel that anxiety. And so he doesn't know where Yusuf is, he doesn't know if he's okay, but he knows he's alive. And so he says, Allah says, the sadness of losing Yusuf has caused him to go blind. فَهُوَ كَذِيمٌ. But he was so a suppressor, meaning he kept his grief to himself. And this, subhanAllah, this is sabarun jameel. That while he is dying on the inside, he's being torn up on the inside, he doesn't complain to anyone on the outside. He only goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his sorrow. He's not a buzzkill, he's not morbid, he's not looking for sympathy from anybody. But he said this a bit loud, and so his sons heard, and they said, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ, again, تَاللَّهِ, by Allah, تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفُ حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَضًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ. By Allah, will you not stop remembering Yusuf? This brother saying, you're still remembering, you just heard two sons are gone, and all you can think about is Yusuf. Will you not stop thinking of Yusuf until you become, you know, of those, you become fatally, you become an old man, or until you basically die? Will you continue like this about thinking of Yusuf? Side note, they thought that if they do the sin, we get Yusuf out of the picture, then Ya'qub will stop thinking of Yusuf and he will think only of them. And the opposite happened. He actually began missing Yusuf even more. So Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam is tested in a way that, subhanAllah, is the most difficult of tests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the different forms of loss that we will go through in the Quran. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That we will go through life, Allah says that you will go through life, you'll be tested with poverty, with fear, with a loss of money, with sickness, with a loss of life, and the last thing, with a loss of fruits. By fruits here, it means children. That is the most difficult of all losses. And as we said, that very few of us are tested by the loss of a child. And this is the, we're not engineered for that. SubhanAllah, yes, when we lose a parent, we are very sad. But alhamdulillah, you know, Allah has made such that we continue on. But for a parent to lose a child, this is something very, very difficult. And that is why this kind of patience is the highest form of patience. Allah describes patience in the Quran as a quality of the believers over 100 times in the Quran. He describes patience as a quality of the believer. And in fact, one ayah, Allah subhanahu says, as for patience, he will give them the reward بغير حساب. That there is no limit to the reward of patience. When Allah rewards for everything, there is a limit. If you give 1 rand in charity, there is an upper limit of how much reward you can get. But as for patience, there's no limit to that. And subhanAllah, one of the lessons of Ramadan is, of course, to attain patience. In fact, the Nabi says, half of patience is fasting. Half of the lesson, learning of patience, to hold yourself back, restraint. Because we are, as human beings, are not built to hold back. But Nabi Ya'qub, Allah says, وَهُوَ كَذِيمِ, he held back. The Nabi says that we will all go through a hard time. Somewhere in life, as we said, like Nabi Yusuf, we will have those dips. We will get sick, we will lose money, a relationship will break, a marriage might end, subhanAllah, someone we love might die. Allah subhanahu, the Prophet says, however, how wonderful is the affair of the believer? How wonderful is it to be a believer? For everything that comes to him is something positive in his life. And this only applies to someone with iman. How so? Because if goodness comes to him, if Allah blesses him with something, he gives shukr, he's appreciative. And obviously that's good. That shukr, Allah is going to increase him in that. And if something bad happens to him, then he bears it with patience. And this only increases him in goodness. And this even takes him on that higher level of success. This is life, subhanAllah. And one of the big themes of Surah Yusuf is you'll be tested with the ups and downs of life. We all end up the same, we began the same, we end the same, but the ups and downs are just a question on a paper, and it's how we approach this. As for losing a child, as we said, may Allah protect that we don't experience this. For those of us who are parents, may we never ever have to be tested like that. Because only in that kind of situation do you know the level of your iman. But as for those who have lost a child, maybe a child was born, a fetus that wasn't developed, a child that was born still, or even more difficult, a child that was born and died in there, especially as a toddler, or even older than that. And subhanAllah, I know of a few parents who've lost children, and when they go through that, that never ever gets better. And your life sort of is stuck in that. And that's why there's a beautiful hadith on the parent who's lost a child. A beautiful hadith. In At-Tirmidhi, he narrates the story or that Ibn Sinan is one of the tabi'in, one of the pious people. He had just buried his son. So Ibn Sinan, or rather Abu Sinan, the father of Sinan, is now burying his son. And Abu Talha was sitting at the graveside, so his friend Abu Talha is with him. So after they had buried the child, they're about to get up and leave the maqbara, and they wanted to go out. So his friend Abu Talha took Abu Sinan's hand, and he said, "Shall I not give you some glad tidings? I want to give you some good news. Yes, you've just lost a child. You're obviously devastated. I want to tell you a hadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "When a person's child dies, Allah says to his angels, to the angels of death now, the ones who have taken, Allah says to them, 'You have taken the child of my slave.'" Right? "You have taken the child of my slave." And they say, "Yes, Ya Allah, we did." And then Allah will say, "You have taken the apple of his eye. You've taken the thing that he loves the most." And the angels of death will say, "Yes, we have." And then Allah will say, "So what did my slave then say after you have done this to him? What did he say?" They say, Allah, the angels will say, "He said, the person praised you. He praised Allah. And he said, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.'" That verily, all of us, we come from Allah. And ultimately, everyone, us and our children, will all go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, "Now build for my slave a place in Jannah and call it the house of praise, of hamd, that I will praise him because he praised me," that it's a guaranteed place of Jannah. So this is one of those great, great rewards. Like you have certain deeds, you go on Hajj, you get Arafah, excellent reward. There's no reward to compensate you except Jannah. You get Laylatul Qadr, there's no reward Allah can compensate you except Jannah. Similarly, if you've lost a child, whether they were small, whether they were stillborn, and you have still the iman to praise and thank Allah and be patient, no matter how much it hurts, then there's the only thing Allah can compensate you with is Jannah. May Allah grant all of us Jannah. Ameen. So they said, "Tallahi, will you not stop thinking of Yusuf after all these years? Until you die, you're going to still keep on thinking of Yusuf." So then, Nabi Yaqub says, "Inna ashku ba'thi wa khuzni ila Allah." Nabi Yaqub basically says, it's not in the slides, I think we missed the slides there. Nabi Yaqub basically says to them, "I don't come to you and disturb you with my sorrow. I don't come to you with any of my sorrow. Rather, I take my bath is my grief, wa huzni, and my sadness to Allah. I only complain to Allah. I don't come to you about my sorrow. I never speak to them." Nabi Yaqub never said, How is Yusuf? He never ever said that. He never did that. He said, "Only to Allah I complain." Now, how do you complain to Allah? It is actually a good thing to complain to Allah. By complain, I don't mean you say, "Ya Allah, why did you take this and why did you do that? Why didn't you give me the promotion?" No. Rather, it is to elicit the mercy and the sympathy of Allah. It is to say, "Ya Allah, you know how difficult this is. You know that this disease has done this and that to me. Ya Allah, you know I'm in this situation. Financially, I'm broken. Ya Allah, you know my situation. And I'm helpless, I'm powerless. Only you can assist me. Help me, look at my situation." This is what it means to have sabr. Not to anyone else. And this is what Nabi Yaqub was doing for 30 years plus. He was doing this, crying for Nabi Yusuf. And then he says to his sons, "But still I have hope in Allah. I still hope Allah will return all of them to me. So go and look for your brothers. Go out there and look. I believe they're still alive. Go and find them. And I believe Allah will bring them back to me." So we continue inshallah tomorrow. With the story of Nabi Yusuf, inshallah. Last night's question, we said in last night's question, what was last night's question? This wasn't last night's question. I think this was the night. Was it last night's question? It was. What was the reward for the one who found the king's cup? The answer is D. A camel load of grain. Right? The answer is D. B is wrong. B is wrong. It's D, a camel load of grain. Right? The man said, whoever finds the cup, he will get a camel of grain. That's his reward. So the answer is D. I thought these were easy questions, but subhanAllah, I will make it more standard grade, inshallah, going forward. How many sons did Nabi Yaqub lose in total? This should be easy. One son, two sons, three, or four. How many sons did he lose in total? Inshallah, easy question. Reminder, fitrah 40 rand, fidya 10 rand. Qiyamul Layl begins 21st, that's Sunday evening. That's the last 10 nights. Please do our best. Keep us in your du'as. Thank you so much. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.